The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, the verses 10 through 14, and it's the last part of 14 that we're going to look at in the sermon this evening. It's found on page 1824 in your Bibles. I'm having a series of sermons on the armor of a Christian, and we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness this evening. That's a beautiful piece of equipment that God gives us, and it has a very wonderful relevance to baptism as well. And so it is definitely practical and applicable to all of us, including Brian and Ruth and their little Titus James. Listen to the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. That is what we're going to look at now, the breastplate of righteousness in place. Before we open this wonderful truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that breastplate of righteousness may be that which covers us, including little Titus James. That breastplate, O Lord, which is made of righteousness, not ours, but Christ's, and it will protect us and be our surety all through life, even when we stand before the judgment seat of God. That breastplate of righteousness will be what you see. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, I think that anyone who is in law enforcement, like a policeman, they leave their home in the morning not knowing what the day will bring. And I think for the most part, they are going to be equipped not only with a belt to hold their service revolver and all the other equipment on that belt, but they're also going to have a bulletproof vest. A bulletproof vest. Now that's an important piece of equipment. That bulletproof vest will stop a bullet. And that's a very important piece of a policeman's equipment, a bulletproof vest. I remember when I was a boy, growing up, a little teeny child, really, during the Second World War, that I remember a story of a soldier who received a Gideon Bible. And he put that Gideon Bible in his vest pocket, and he was shot, and that Gideon Bible stopped the bullet. That was a wonderful miracle, that Gideon Bible was his bulletproof vest, that Gideon Bible. You know, on a much more profound way than that, the righteousness of Christ is our bulletproof vest. Because the enemy against us does not shoot with bullet, doesn't come at us with a sword or a drawn knife or a bayonet. He comes to us, the enemy, which is the devil, which Paul describes here, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against bullet and blade, but we wrestle against the principalities, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so we've got to be equipped with something that can withstand the spiritual armament of the devil. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. All of us are in it. All of us are in it. And we've got to be equipped. So let's look at the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate cover? Well, in the old Roman soldier uniform, that breastplate went from the bottom of the chin all the way to the thigh. It covered the entire front of a person's body. It covered the crucial organs of the lungs, of the heart, of the internal organs. All of them were covered by this metal shield or breastplate. And it covered it so that those crucial organs of their body would not be pierced and injured. And Paul takes that picture and says, look, you and I have got to have that too. We've got to have all of that covered, and what it is covered with is righteousness. It's a breastplate of righteousness. That's what the breastplate is made of. It's made of righteousness to protect you and me, and to protect our, not only our physical organs, but you know that our physical organs are also used in the Bible to picture spiritual truth. For example, the heart, which is behind the ribs and right here in the chest, is a physical organ. Indeed, it is a crucial physical organ. But it is also a spiritual organ. It is a spiritual part of what it means to be a human being. The Lord Jesus says, love the Lord with all your heart. Solomon says in Proverbs 4:21, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are all the issues of life. Jesus said to the Pharisees who were accusing His disciples of not washing their hands before they ate, Jesus said, you got it all wrong. It's not what comes into your body through unwashed hands that corrupts a person. It's what comes out of the heart that corrupts the person. And what comes out of your heart are all the evil things. Murders, adulteries, and all these things. They all come out of the heart. My Lori and my grandson he's not in seminary yet, but he's in between college and seminary. And he'll be going to seminary in the fall. And he called me Friday. We talk every once in a while. And he said, Grandpa, I've been reading a book by John Owen. Now, some of you know who John Owen is. John Owen was a Puritan writer. And he said, I'm reading John Owen's book on the mortification of sin. And mortification of sin means killing sin. A mortician is one who deals with death. A mortuary is a funeral homes. Mortification means to kill. And the name of this book is The Mortification of Sin. We got to kill sin. And Ross said to me, Grandpa, the picture I had in my mind is this. Owen says, sin always comes from your heart or your mind. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from your hand or your feet. Your hand, your feet are instruments, but it's all moved by your heart, or your mind, or your will. And then he said to me, you know, I've played video games. And in some video games, you have figures popping up And what you have to do is either shoot them or knock them down in that video game. And he said, this is exactly as I picture temptation. Temptation comes up in your mind, in your heart, in your will, in your desires. It comes up. And what you have to do is slam it down. That's exactly right. We have to fight against sin and temptation and evil desires. It all comes from the heart. Now, the breastplate of righteousness is going to protect our heart. It's going to protect our mind, our will, our desires. It's going to protect us. So it's very important to have the breastplate of righteousness. So that's what a breastplate is. Now, what is the righteousness? What is this righteousness? It's not our righteousness. That, first of all. If it were our righteousness, it couldn't stand against Satan's attacks for a moment. Now, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this, at one time in his life, he thought that he would be protected by his own righteousness. See, he was a Pharisee. And this was the view of the Pharisees. It was very much the rule of the view of the Pharisees. Jesus brought that up in that parable of the two men who went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. That already gives you a clue. He was praying with himself. He says, I thank God that I'm not like other people. I'm a lot better than them. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I have. And I'm a lot better than that tax collector over there. So he was depending and he was thinking that his own righteousness was what would make him acceptable to God and make him victorious. But the man in the corner, he didn't have all that wonderful pedigree like this Pharisee did. All he said is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified rather than the other. He that exalts himself will be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, Paul was that kind of Pharisee at one time. He talks about it in Philippians chapter 3. He says, you know, if someone wants to think he has reason to put confidence in himself and in his flesh, I have more confidence yet. I was circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. So he said, if I would depend upon that, I mean, I would come through with an A-plus rating. But, he said, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. All that stuff that I was depending on is nothing but rubbish. Garbage. It's useless. It's just rubbish. That's what I look at it to be, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness, now notice, that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. That righteousness is the righteousness of God. It's not ours. It's not ours. And you know the history of the Reformation. You know that Martin Luther at first wanted to gain that righteousness himself by his own performance. And he didn't find peace. It wasn't until he found that the righteousness which can stand before God and make us acceptable to God is not our righteousness, but it is only the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His perfect righteousness, His perfect life, His death, His blood, His resurrection. That is what is righteous before God. And only that. Jesus Christ is the only one who is without sin. He is the only one who paid for our sin. And His righteousness, which is everything that He did, and the blood that He shed in paying for our sin, that is what's got to cover us. And that's what's got to cover little Titus too. Titus James, this evening, receive the sign and seal of Almighty God, of the Lord, Jehovah, our covenant God. And he was baptized in the name of the Father. And the Father witnesses and sealed unto Brian and Ruth and Titus that God would be your God. That He would make an everlasting covenant with you. He would provide you with all that is good, and He would avert evil or turn it to your profit. And when little Titus was baptized into the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, witnessed and sealed to him that he, Jesus Christ, would wash him from all his sins and would incorporate him into the fellowship of Christ's death and resurrection. And when little Titus was baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit said, I promise that I will dwell in the heart of little Titus James. That's a promise. That I will connect him to Jesus Christ. And that this little son of Brian and Ruth would have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, as in all covenants, there are contained two parts. Therefore, we are under obligation to believe this. To believe this. To trust in Him. And here is where Brian and Ruth have a wonderful and crucial part to play. Because little Titus doesn't understand this. He does not know what happened. He's way too young. But he is alive. He has a soul. He has a heart. He has a mind and a conscience. It's not developed yet. But as it is developed, you will have a crucial part to play in developing his heart, his mind, his soul. And the Lord Jesus says, I will be right there to help you. Don't worry. In that moment, I will give you the words to say. He is your responsibility. Wonderful responsibility. Awesome responsibility. It really is. And that breastplate of righteousness which by faith you have, you want him to have that. It's going to protect him. You're going to do everything to protect the child. You already have things to protect him physically. you've got a car seat. Isn't that right? He's sitting in that car seat. You don't let him, you don't hold him in the car while you're traveling. Because if you should have to stop suddenly, how could you hang on? You've got to have him in the car seat. That's law. The law says you've got to have him protected by a car seat. But do you know what the Lord Jesus says? In order to protect him from the powers of evil and the powers of darkness and Satan's attacks, you've got to have him protected too. And he's got to be protected with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which we receive by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. That righteousness of Christ is ours to all who believe. Now, he doesn't believe yet. He doesn't know yet. But we trust that as soon as he is able to understand this, he's going to know it. It's like this. He has received a check from the Lord. And that check is made out to him. And it's absolutely never going to bounce. And that check must be cashed. As he comes to years of understanding, he has to cash that check and believe. And you as parents, you have an awesome responsibility to instruct this child in the way of the Lord, so that he will know and trust in Jesus. But the promise of the Lord, the promise of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, is that that little child, Titus James, is God's child. It's God's child. And he has loaned him to you. And he has given you this wonderful responsibility to bring this little Titus James up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord, that he may love Jesus and trust in him. So Brian and Ruth, what a wonderful privilege you have. How do we receive this? We receive it by faith alone. There's no other way. No other way. It's only by faith. By trusting in Jesus Christ. Leaning on him. You know what faith is? Faith, says Hebrews 11:1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence and assurance of things not seen. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is worked in our heart by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. So that we believe in Jesus Christ and we trust in His Word and accept His promises, which are absolutely true in Christ Jesus. Faith. Faith is the victory. And Jesus said, you know, we have to have faith like a child. A simple, childlike faith. Which says, if the Lord says it, I believe it. I do not doubt it for a moment that Jesus Christ really is who He said He was. And I believe it. Oh, may each one of us truly have that faith. So we receive it by faith. Now, how does this help us? How does it help us to have that breastplate of righteousness? Well, it helps us to have that. It helps us in this, that it gives us confidence. Look, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, how do I know if God is for me? How do I know that? How do you know that God is for you? The Apostle Paul answers this question in the most wonderful way possible. Romans 8, verse 32, this is what Paul said. You want to know whether God is for you? I'll tell you. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him for us all, how shall He not also freely, graciously with Him give us all things? You want proof that God is for you? Well, He gave us His most glorious gift, which is His only begotten Son, which is Himself, because the Son is God too. He gave Himself for us. What more could He do? That proves it. If God gave Himself for us, what more could He do? He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. When God sent His Son into the world, God loved His Son, Jesus Christ, just as much as you love little Titus James. More so. More so. If we as parents, Jesus said, give good gifts to our children, and we being evil, how much the more shall not the Father give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It gives us confidence. I don't have to be afraid. What happened to John Postma? We don't know exactly, but it's heart failure. Serious. Anything dealing with the heart has got to be serious. Suppose it happened to you. Suppose you were taken by ambulance to the hospital. Would you have confidence? Suppose the doctor said to you, you've got cancer. It's at the fourth stage of cancer. And really, we can't do anything more for you. So we will try and keep you comfortable. Would you have confidence? Would you say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Could you say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can maybe say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but it's quite another thing to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said. You and I can say that if we have the breastplate of righteousness on us, if we have the righteousness of Christ covering us, we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. If you lived in a country that was dominated by the Muslims, and they said, you've got to deny Christ and accept the Islamic religion, or you're going to die. What would we say? Would I be ashamed of Jesus? Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend by whom my hope for heaven depends? The songwriter says, do you think the sunset is embarrassed by the sun? You kidding me? The sun is what makes the sunset. The sunset will never be ashamed of the sun. We will never be ashamed of Jesus. Why? Because the breastplate of Christ's righteousness is on us. And you know what? When God looks on us, what does He see? He sees the blessed breastplate of Christ's righteousness. He sees Christ's righteousness upon us, covering us. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, that is having Christ's righteousness on me. To die is gain. It's gain. It's not loss. If Christ's righteousness is on me, I have perfect confidence in life and in death. Because I am not my own, but I belong to Jesus Christ and His righteousness covers me. So it gives me confidence in life and death and sickness and health and raising our children. It gives us confidence. When we represent the Lord and His Word, this is not just beating the air. It's not just swinging and missing. It's swinging and hitting a home run every time. God's Word will never return void. Heaven and earth may pass away, said Jesus, but My Word will never pass away. This Word you can depend on. We sing, don't we? Great is Thy faithfulness. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. God's faithfulness will never, never fail. It gives us confidence in the training of our children. It gives us confidence in our daily work. It gives us confidence going forth and in our marriage and in our family life, in our work, in our recreation. It gives us confidence in our interpersonal relationship. It gives us confidence in trying to witness. When we witness, we're not witnessing about ourselves. We don't talk about me. It's not about me. It's about my Lord. And it's His righteousness, which is my breastplate, which gives me confidence in talking about Him. So it gives us confidence. The second thing it gives us is joy. Joy. How can a person be sad when I know that my Redeemer liveth? I have joy in Christ because, Psalm 16, it's a wonderful thing. I have set the Lord always before my face because He is at my right hand. I will not be moved. He has set me at His right hand. And in Thy right hand, are fullness of pleasures, and at Thy right, and in Thy presence is fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16. Read that sometime. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful truth. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy at Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. That breastplate of righteousness will give me joy, even in the midst of sorrow. You see, there's a big difference between joy and pleasure. Pleasure depends upon the circumstances that we're in. When we have a really good time and good prosperity and all that, then we have pleasure. But joy is not dependent upon the circumstances of life. We have joy even in sickness. We have joy in sorrow. Remember that song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves? We can sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. There is joy even in the midst of sorrow because we know that our Redeemer lives. And we can have joy even standing before an open grave because we know that the grave and death has lost its sting. It's lost its stinger. Are you afraid of a housefly? Of course not. You're not afraid of a housefly. You just got a fly swatter and swat it. But how about a bumblebee or a wasp? That's a little different story. You know why? Because the wasp and a bumblebee have a stinger. You afraid of a garter snake? No. They don't have any. But are you afraid of a rattler? Oh boy. They have a stinger. They have venom. Death for a child of God has lost its stinger. Do you know why? Because the sting of death was thrust into Jesus Christ. The sting of death was thrust
into Him. He took the sting of death so that it never has to hit us. We've got that breastplate of His righteousness. And even in the midst of facing death, going through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, I need fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Confidence, joy, and assurance. Assurance. You know the assurance of faith is a wonderful thing? And you know what the assurance of faith is based on? It's not based on my own righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, Dave. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Assurance is based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We sang about it in the song service, that great song, Amazing Love, how can it be that Thou, my God, didst die for me? No condemnation now I fear. I have assurance. I have absolute assurance. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I shall see Him. We have that because that breastplate of righteousness is ours. Do you have that? You want little James, Titus James to have that? You're going to pray for that? You're going to train him so that he has that too? And you've got to have it too. And you have it. You've confessed it. You confessed it. Jesus said, you confess me before men? I will confess you before my Father. He's already confessed you before His Father because you confessed Him before men. You're God's child, Brian and Ruth. And now He's given you this little Titus James that He may too come to that point in his life when he says, yes, what was promised to me in my baptism, I now fully accept as my own. We have confidence, we have joy, and we have assurance. In Psalm 17, the last verse, in our Psalter hymnal, the last verse goes like this. When I, in righteousness at last, Thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with Thee, to view the glories that abide, then will I be satisfied. That's assurance. Satisfied. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. We thank You, Lord, for the breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, which we receive by faith alone. We pray, Lord, for Brian and Ruth as they train up little Titus James to know this, to trust in Jesus as his Savior. And Lord, that same great calling is for all of us. Bless us this night. Guide us during the coming weeks and lead us by Your Spirit. May Jesus Christ be praised in His name. Amen.